Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Number three here on the Rod Eccles Show. The fastest 3 hours on internet talk radio is right here, powered by Zinc Media Arts. Welcome back. It is I, your lovable host, L. Rod, coming to you live from the Bunkerize studio once again on this Wednesday, hump day, July number 25 in the year of our Lord 2018. Yes, indeed. I can't believe that it, you know, time just flies by when you're having so much fun, even when some of the subject matter isn't so much fun. Here's some fun subject matter for you. From Fox News has got this story. A student that was suspended for wearing the Trump border wall t-shirt goes to court and wins. He's going to get $25,000 and a formal written apology. Yes, Oregon high school student Addison Barnes, who's now 18, He sued his school district and the administration and his principal when he went to school wearing a t-shirt that said Donald J. Trump Border Wall Construction Company. The wall just got 10 feet higher, was on his t-shirt. And the school district and administrator said that he couldn't wear the pro-Trump Border Wall t-shirt. He is now going to be given a written apology and a $25,000 settlement. Yes, Liberty High School senior Addison Barnes, who is now a graduate of Liberty High School, was suspended earlier this year after he refused to cover up his Donald J. Trump Border Wall Construction Company t-shirt. The shirt, which also featured a 2016 Trump quote, "The wall just got 10 feet taller," was worn by Barnes in his People in Politics class on a day where immigration was going to be discussed. Now, Barnes' school sued the school and the district and Principal Greg Timmons, claiming his First Amendment rights had been violated. So yesterday, Barnes' lawyers announced that they had reached a settlement with the district. Timmons will write a letter of apology, that is the high school principal, to Barnes, and the district will pay an additional $25,000 to cover Barnes' legal fees. And Barnes himself gave a statement quoting, "I brought this case to stand up for myself and other students who might be afraid to express their right of center views." Good for him. This kind of stuff cannot be allowed. Look, if you're going to allow, if you have a dress code and nobody can wear a political shirt of any kind, that's fine. You know, if you have to have a specific, I don't have a problem with dress codes in public schools. Or I know people, well, they don't have a choice but to go there. No, they can go to a private school. But I don't have a problem with having a dress code or even a loose form of uniform. It doesn't have to be an actual uniform. It could just be a code. You know, kind of like, you know, business used to wear a suit and tie. You could have that kind of a uniform type of code where, you know, maybe shirts have to be a certain color. You know, pants have to be a certain color or a style. They can't be holy jeans. Maybe they have to be khakis or something. You know, it doesn't have to be expensive, and it doesn't have to be a real formal uniform, but it could be a dress code. I have no problem with that. So if you have a uniform dress code that would prevent everybody from wearing a t-shirt similar to that, that's fine. But when you start picking and choosing, No, you, especially in a public school, in a public school setting, you can't do that. You can't decide, well, you know what? I like the shirt that supports Hillary Clinton, but not the T-shirt that supports Donald Trump. So the student, either he has to cover it up or get suspended. No, you can't do that. And good for this young man who stood up for his rights and rights of others who will probably be facing similar things. And look, folks, it is. I know some people say, well, school uniforms would be very difficult for a lot of parents, especially poor parents. No, it wouldn't. As a matter of fact, if you had a uniform or a uniform dress code, it would actually make it easier and cheaper for many parents. Because then, you know, you go out every... What's the whole deal about coming up soon in August? You know, parents go out and they spend $1 bazillion on buying back-to-school clothes. And, of course, you know, the kids have got to have the latest styles and this kind and that kind and this kind of shoe and that kind of shirt. And if you have a uniform dress code, well, that eliminates a lot of this fancy, you know, mall-style fashion crap that's overpriced. I mean, you don't have to worry about spending $100 on a hoodie because that wouldn't be part of the uniform dress code. And you don't have to go out and spend, you know, $100 or $200 or $300 on limited edition uniforms. But if you just have a unified, simplified dress code, you know, maybe you do make the boys wear, you can't nowadays because I know, well, Rod, you're going to run into the problem with all the kids that don't identify with their outward gender appearances. What if you have a boy that identifies or likes to wear girls' clothes? I know we're at that point where we supposedly have to deal with that, but we don't have to. But if that's the case, then you just make it a unisex type of code. Girls can wear pants, obviously. They don't have to wear skirts or dresses. I mean, they can wear, they just can't wear those super low cut jeans, and they can't, and maybe just cut out jeans altogether. Because jeans can be expensive too. I mean, jeans can cost you. Have you seen some of the prices of some of these jeans? I mean, I the other day, not too long ago, I about fell over when I saw a $225 pair of Levi's. Like, who the hell spends that on jeans? And why? They don't look any better than the you know, the $20 or $30 pair. What is it? And yes, why spend $100 on a hoodie when you can, you know, go to places and spend $20 or $30 on a hoodie? Same thing. I don't. But you gotta have, you know, you gotta have the name brand on it. You can't have old Navy's a cheap stuff. You gotta have, you know, something like Abercrombie and Fitch or PacSun or what's the Hollister or you know, Forever 21 or something like that. Are those still around, by the way? Well, I know Abercrombie and Fitch is. You see the advertisements for them. I don't know about the others. Are they still around? I don't go into malls, so I don't know. I'm out of touch with mall stores, so I don't know what's in malls anymore because I don't go into them. I hate them. I guess I'm officially too old to go into a mall. But I don't like malls, so I can't tell you the last time I actually went into a mall. It's been that long. I don't know. I avoid them. For good reason. I just don't go into them. And since movie theaters are now standalone buildings, you don't have to go to them because movie theaters used to be in malls. Well, they're not in malls anymore because they're standalone buildings. Because the screens are so giant and they're multiplex and you can't fit, you know, 10 or 15 theaters into a mall space for the most part. So I don't need to go in the malls. Even if when I go to the movies, I don't go to anywhere near a mall to go to the movies. So I don't know even what's in malls nowadays. But I don't know if he got that. If he, you know, obviously he didn't get that T-shirt from Addison. Didn't get that T-shirt from a mall store. He probably, even if he didn't make it himself, which he could have. It's a I'd buy one. If he sold it, if he had it, I'd buy one. Any case, so good for Addison. There was another story. House Republicans are ready to are readying a new tax cut package, and they aim to advance it ahead of the midterm. Now, this would be a beautiful thing if they actually had the guts to go ahead and do it. Now, I'm not saying that they don't, but it took some major arm twisting to get them to come around and pass some form of the Trump tax plan, tax cut. And Trump didn't get everything he wanted. By the way, he did not get everything he wanted out of that. And he even said so. This could be a way to remedy of what he didn't get the first time around with another round. And we see what that first round did. It spurred economic growth. It spurred job creation. It even has spurred. Now, this is where the wonderful liberals always fail, because they always talk about how are we going to pay for these tax cuts. First of all, you don't pay for tax cuts. But second of all, how do you pay for it? Well, it gets paid for by the increased revenue to the Treasury, which we have seen. We are at a record level of receipts into the Treasury from taxes. Why? Because so many more people are working, which means more people are paying taxes. More people are spending money on other things that have taxes, both local, state, and federal taxes attached to them, you know, like cell phones and things like that, you know, your cell phone plan. So more people are able to buy stuff like that. Fewer people are taking money out of the system by not being on welfare or the SNAP food stamp program. So it's a win-win-win everywhere around. So that's how you pay for tax cuts. This is not a zero-sum game. Well, the government is only going to make this much money if we have these tax cuts. No, it's not true. Every time we have tax cuts, folks, we see Treasury receipts go up. They still don't get it. They cannot fathom this. Wait, but we're charging less. So how are we making more? Besides, it's not the income part of the government making money that's the problem, or confiscating it or taxing it. That's not the problem. The problem is on the spending side. It doesn't matter how much money the Treasury takes in. We're still spending way more than we take in every year. That's the spending is the problem, not the taxing. But in any case, House Republicans have unveiled the broad outlines of a new tax package yesterday that would make individual rate cuts permanent under the nation's revised tax code instead of allowing them to expire in 2025. Now, this whole thing about temporary, you know, expire, have an expiration or a sunset date, or making them permanent. When it comes to Congress, that's all rhetoric. I'm sorry, but it is. It's about as bad as say, well, it is, because it can be changed from every, you know, every year to year, or from Congress to Congress every 2 years. One Congress cannot make another Congress in the future beholden to anything. They can't say, okay, this is permanent, it can never be changed. They can't do that. It's unconstitutional. They can't do it. So this is why I hate when people say, oh, yeah, we're going to have a balanced budget or a surplus in 10 years. No, we're not. Because you have to do a budget every year. Every year the budget spending levels change. So 1 year, you know, it could be budget is balanced. It doesn't mean every other budget after that is going to be balanced. In another year, it could be where you actually pay down the deficit. Or not the deficit, you pay down the debt. You can actually, 1 year, include in the budget where you don't borrow any money, but you actually pay the debt down, say, by $1 trillion. Great. it doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen the next year. Because every single year, it's a different budget. And every 2 years, at least, it's a different Congress. So all kinds of things change. And you cannot say, okay, but this budget means that in 5 years, we're going to have a balanced budget and we're going to have a surplus. That's a bunch of BS. To say that this tax code is going to expire in the year 2025 is a bunch of BS. Why? Because Congress can write and pass a new tax law today that supersedes that one. So there is no expiring in 2025 because the law gets replaced. I'm trying to bring people up to speed on this. So don't get lost in this narrative. Well, it's only temporary. It's all temporary. Nothing is permanent. If anything was permanent, we wouldn't have the tax code that we have today. It's all been added on to and changed over the years since, what, 1913? There's nothing permanent. The proposal, however, stands little chance in the Senate. Nonetheless, House Republicans intend to bring it to a vote ahead of the November midterm elections with the aim of refocusing attention on what they say are positive impacts from a new tax law that has not proven particularly popular with voters. Really? How is it? I don't know. It looks like the polls keep going up every, what is it, over 70? So over 75% now think that the tax cuts were a good thing? So that's not popular with, maybe it's not popular with voters in Connecticut. Well, that might be true. That's where, this is the News Times report out of Danbury, Connecticut. Now, Connecticut might be one of those states like New York and California where taxpayers there are probably seeing a slight rise in their taxes. Why? Because they're no longer able to deduct the bulk of their state taxes now from their federal return. So they're actually seeing their taxes rise because they live in a high tax state. So, if you want your taxes to be that high, then pay for them yourself. Don't ask the rest of the country to subsidize for you, which is what they're doing. So this is supposedly it's not very popular, but it tax cuts in most other states where the taxes are not ridiculously high, like California, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, tax cuts are extremely popular. People love them, because they get more money in their pocket. They get to keep more money in their pocket. That's the way tax cuts are generally supposed to work. But if you take away some deductions that are fake deductions to begin with. Now, folks, understand this. If your tax rate is going down, unless your estate taxes are really extremely high, getting rid of that state deduction for your state taxes, it should be a wash. Now, for most people in this country, it is either a wash or a benefit. You will either end up with really, literally, no more money in your pocket, or you will end up with more money in your pocket. There are a couple of states where the state taxes or taxation is so high that those people were better off taking the deduction on the federal return and having the federal rate what it was. That even lowering of the federal rate, getting rid of that deduction, means the net out-of-pocket taxes that they're paying are actually going to go up simply because their state taxes are that high, which means that they need to attack their state spending and how their state government operates. Now, me up here in New Hampshire should not be subsidizing and paying for California's ultra-high tax rate. If people want to live in that state and have those kind of high taxes, then they should be free to do so, but don't ask anybody else to help them pay for it. Because I don't live in that state. I live in New Hampshire. We're fiscally responsible here. We have a low tax rate. I should be able to enjoy that. That's why I live here. Part of the reason why I live here. Now, this is part of the reason why I left New York. Taxes were too damn high. Part of the reason why I don't live in Massachusetts, taxes are too damn high. So if people want to live in those places, don't tell them, well, we don't have a choice. No bullshit. Yeah, you do. Now, I'm not going to tell you what you can do in order to avoid such things, but there are a lot of people that really do move in order to avoid. And I know that there are some. Look, I know that there have been stories about New York trying to go after people that claim that they don't live in New York anymore. I remember the first year that I left. The first full year, I did not live in New York. Now, this is the funny thing, because I moved here in March, which meant March 1st, which means that January and February of that year that I moved, I lived in New York. And so I had to file a tax return in New York for those 2 months. Now, filing that tax return, obviously, I put my New Hampshire address on it. Now, even though I hadn't lived in New York since that March, the following year, New York State sent a tax form to my New Hampshire address, telling me that I had to prove I no longer was a resident of New York. And I guess they've gotten worse about that. I mean, honestly, wait, you're sending this tax form to New Hampshire, and you want me to prove to you? Hello, if sending it here isn't proof enough that I don't live in New York anymore, then I don't know what else can. I literally had to take a photocopy of my driver's. That was, I guess that possibly doesn't work anymore, but I literally had to give a photocopy of my driver's license that was changed over from New York to New Hampshire to never hear from New York again. Honestly, folks, this is how bad it is. And from what I understand, they have only gotten worse on this. Telling if you live in New York or you stay in New York for one day, man, you got to pay for that whole month or something stupid like that. This is part of the problem with a lot of these professional athletes. Do you realize what these professional athletes have to file multiple state income tax returns annually? Based on the number of games that they played in that state. So I know if you have a it is the dumbest thing. Some people don't know this, that this is what professional athletes have to go through. This is why they have to have accountants. But if you're a professional athlete based in that, and your team is in Florida, and Florida doesn't have an income tax, but you play a game in say, you know, Massachusetts and New York and California, you realize you gotta file an income tax return for those states based on how much you make on average, based on your annual salary. And they say, okay, if you make $100,000 per game, then and you play that one game in New York, well, you've got to pay what is New York's income tax? I don't know what New York's income tax rate is now, but you got to pay the income tax for that on that $100,000 for that one game. In every game that you play in New York, that's how bad it is.
Warning: listening to the Rod Eggles Show by the Idiot Left may cause outrage, fear, a need for safety pins and/or spaces. If you experience any of these symptoms or are allergic to truth, tune in and learn something, Snowflake.
And now a message from our sponsor. Ladies, tired of drying your hair with the same old vacuum cleaner? Try Avanchet brand new Beauty Locks portable hair dryer. It's smaller, it's faster, it's guaranteed to give you the hair you've always wanted in half the time. Beauty Locks is delicate and dainty, just like you. The dryer weighs only a pound and easily fits in your hand. Now that's beauty and convenience. With a speedy motor that will dry your hair in as little as 25 minutes, you can get gorgeous hair without falling behind schedule. Don't worry about the little ones or that pie in the oven. Thanks to an extra long extension cord, you can move around while primping your locks. Forget those long trips to the salon and no more waiting for hours under monster machines. Avanchet gives you an easy and speedy hairdo that will blow your man away. Get it now at your nearest Macy's.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candy, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Today, there's a beer for everyone.
Hey, me and the guys are going out for a beer. You want to come along?
Nah, I got a lot of data to enter into the computer tonight.
Now, there's a brew for the future.
Want me to bring you something back?
Thanks, but I got some right here.
Microsoft Brew.
You got a beer tap on your computer?
With a head so thick, you can float a mouse on it.
Let me get this straight. You make your own beer with the computer?
With the right software, you can do anything.
Microsoft Brew.
Here, I call this one Windows 95.
I don't know, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
And if you got to get there quicker, try the new ISDN malt liquor.
Hello, America. It's me, your history. I remember a time when we thumbed our nose in a king's face and sent him packing. And when fascists and emperors talked a little bit too loud, we showed up, tore their cities to the ground, and then rebuilt them just to prove we could. We put men on the moon, we won a Cold War, and we elected fearless leaders who led fearless people. What the hell happened to you, America? Back in my day, we didn't elect a big-eared community organizer. We punched him in the kidney. Maybe it's time you came home, America. Home where you belong.
Yeah, jam on it. Jam out. Get some good old horn action there. You can't, well, no, not, I know some people are taking, horny? No, I didn't say horny action. I said horn action. In any case, it is now that part of the program where it is time for today's holidays. Yes, the holidays for today, July number 25, are thus. It is Culinarians Day. Now, I know some people are saying you might as well just say it's chef's. No, it's not chef's day. Culinarians are usually referred to those people who assist chefs in, you know, the sous chefs and the assistant chefs and this cook and this chopping person and that chopping person in prep chef. It's all the people that help chefs make your food so delicious. But it's got to be of a so-called culinary or high standard type of food. So it is Culinarians Day. For those of you in the, it's a day to celebrate those people in all those restaurants and kitchens. Even you people at home who like to, you know, fancy it up. You're a culinarian because you're not a bona fide. Well, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you are a bona fide chef, but most people aren't bona fide chefs. I'm not exactly sure what it takes to actually be a bona fide chef. I mean, I know we call these people, you know, it's like they go to college or something and, you know, they get a doctorate degree. Yes, chef. No, chef. I don't know. I've seen some pretty young chefs. Anybody remember the Naked Chef? You know, Jamie something was his name or is his name. Back in his 20s, he was called the Naked Chef. I don't know how you get to be a chef. It's such a, I don't know what it takes to be a chef then. I don't know. Anyway, it is also International Red Shoe Day, not Blue Shoe. Not white shoe, but red. It doesn't have to be sneakers. It could be sneakers or shoes. Or, you know, don't just, you can do anything that you want to do, but honey, don't you step on my rich suede shoes. No, I know it's supposed to be blue suede, but it's not a blue day. It's a red day. It's international. Wait, are these communist shoes? just are these communist shoes? I'm just asking. Anyway, International Red Shoe Day. It is also Feast of Saints, Saint James Day. So if you're into all the wonderful saints of the Catholic style church, then this is a holiday for you, Feast of Saint James. It is also Health and Happiness with Hypnosis Day. I guess if you can't be happy naturally, you go to the hypnotist and have them force you to be happy somehow. I don't know how that works, but okay. Suggestion. It is also National Carousel Day. Yeah, also known as National Merry-Go-Round Day. You know, the merry-go-round, the carousel. Even, you know, kids of all ages love those things. I don't know why. You get on these beautiful carved animals, usually horses, and you just go around in a circle to some really, you know, strange carnival style music. But people love it. You know, adults and kids love these things. I don't know why, but we do. You just go around in a circle, don't get anywhere. But it's your way of riding a horse, I guess. But yeah, these things, and they're beautiful. They're works of art, actually. They really are. Carousels are actually, even the worst of them, the simplest of them, they're really, truly works of art. Absolutely gorgeous things to behold, especially when they're in pristine working order and they've been restored. Some of the old ones, they've been restored. Just beautiful stuff. So it's National Carousel Day. It's also National Wine and Cheese Day. I know, but it shouldn't be in the middle of the week, but it is because it's celebrated not on a particular day, but a specific date, which is July 25. It is also Thread the Needle day. So if you're a stitcher, seamstress, tailor, what have you, it's a good day for you. It's also National Hot Fudge Sunday Day. Yeah, that's an easy one to celebrate. And even especially with this warm, muggy weather that we've been having up here in the northern climes of New England, it's a perfect day to go out and get yourself a hot fudge sundae. Any kind of ice cream sundae would be good. And it is also National Hire a Veteran Day. Military veteran. That should be every day. But in any case, a special day to honor our veterans and as far as work is concerned outside of the military. It's National Hire a Veteran Day. And those are your holidays for today, July number 25, especially when it comes to the wine and cheese thing and the hot fudge sundae. Please go out and celebrate responsibly. Being irresponsible here, we have a story, Fake Indian. This is from Gateway Pundit. Headline, Fake Indian Elizabeth Warren suggests 50% Democrat tax rates. Calls Trump tax bonuses crumbs. Well, if they're crumbs, why do you want to take them away? Thanks to President Trump's tax cuts and reforms, 90% of American wage earners have a higher take-home pay this year. But those are just crumbs, and those crumbs have garnered the ire of people like Elizabeth Warren, who want to raise your tax rates from, what, 20 or 25% up to 50%. In other words, she wants to more than double the rate. Hello? Anybody want to have more money taken out of their pocket? Over 3 million working Americans have received Trump tax cuts, cut bonuses as a result of Trump's tax reform law. But Elizabeth Warren wants to take that all away. Elizabeth Warren told CNBC Democrats will end the Trump tax cuts if they take power in November. She also promoted a 50% tax hike on American earners. So if it's just crumbs... Now, folks, pay attention to this. You know, they're out there talking about it's only $25 a week or $30 a week or $50 a week for you. That's just crumbs. But, folks, they want to take away those crumbs from you. Now, in spite of the absolute ridiculous amount of money that is flowing into the Treasury right now, record amounts of cash, because they always say, well, how are we going to pay for these tax cuts? Well, the tax cuts are paid for because the Treasury is got all this extra money. So they don't. It's not that it needs to be paid for. That it is paid for, and then some. Not that we have to pay for tax cuts, but if you want to use their vernacular, go right ahead. So the tax cuts have been more than paid for because the Treasury is making more money than it ever had in the past. So why? So it's not about income to the government. It's about power and control, and they don't like you not being dependent on government. Because why? Because we've got over 8 million people fewer on SNAP or food stamp rolls. Yeah, 8 million people have gotten themselves off of the government dole, off of government food stamps. You've got 3 million fewer people on general welfare programs. You've got more people who have left the ranks of official government poverty on their own. In other words, they're earning money now that is above the federal poverty level. So they're actually paying into the system and not taking from the system. And this is what people like Elizabeth Warren and Nancy Pelosi are calling crumbs. Well, if they're just crumbs, and it doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot to you either. So why take it away from us? But here, not only do they want to take your crumbs away, they want to raise your rate beyond what it used to be before the tax cut. If you are a Democrat, or if you are a leftist, can you please explain that to me, Lucy? Why do you want less money going into the Treasury, take more money from people, and forcing more people back onto the government dole? Why do you want that? Why are you so dead against having a robust, strong American economy? mean, these are the questions that these stupid pundits on TV should be asking these so-called politicos. Elizabeth Warren, why do you want the Treasury's income to go down? Why do you want the American people to keep less of their own money? Why do you want more people on government assistance? This is what they should be asking. They don't ask her these kinds of questions because they're too tough for her. But Senator Elizabeth Warren sat down with CNBC's John Harwood to discuss an array of issues from President Trump to the economy. She talked about wanting to roll back the GOP tax cuts. If Democrats take the Congress, if you're in the White House or both, you would like to see these corporate tax cuts repealed, ask John Harwood. Answered by fake Indian Elizabeth Warren, yeah, I really want to see them roll back. Harwood follows up by saying, back to 35%. She responds, Warren responds, well, it's not about the number. Here's how I look at budgets and taxes are at the heart of this. A lot of people think they're just numbers. They're not. They are the expression of our values. The values of the Republican Party that passed those tax cuts are to give $1.5 trillion away to the richest Americans and the biggest corporations and let everybody else pick up the crumbs. So it's not about, folks, it's not about dollars. It's not about the numbers, according to Warren. It's about values. The Democrat and leftist value is you don't get to keep your own money because it doesn't belong to you in the first place. That's the value she's espousing. And because some rich person gets to get $1.5 trillion, rich people get to keep $1.5 trillion of money they earn, you shouldn't have these tax cuts. It doesn't matter if you're getting, now only people who are making ridiculous amounts of money would think that an extra $200, $300, or $400 a month is crumbs. I guarantee you that most people in the middle class do not think that kind of extra money every month for not having to work more hours. It's the same thing as getting a raise. I'm sorry. If you make an extra $25 to $50 a week in your paycheck, or you're taking home an extra $25 to $50 in your $50 a week in your paycheck without getting a raise, it is like getting a raise, is it not? Is that crumbs to you? I've never seen anybody turn to, I know some people used to complain, oh, I got a 25-cent raise. I've never seen anybody turn it down. You know, that's crumbs. I'll take and keep my crumbs, thank you, instead of giving it to the government. But a Democrat value is, well, you don't need that money anyway. It's just crumbs. But you're thinking, it's not crumbs to me. Democrat values is, unless you're on the government dole, you know, if you can have government crumbs. How about that? Because we're the ones giving. If you're making your own crumbs, no, that's not good. She goes on to say, I think the right way to think about this is that we need a budget. We need a tax bill that works for all of us. So what I'd like to see is I'd like to see us strengthen America's middle class. The tax cut did strengthen America's middle class. We've got a rising labor participation rate. We've got a dropping unemployment rate below 4%. In some states, it's below 3%. And these are not Burger King $9 an hour jobs. These are high-paying, middle-class paying jobs. They're even factory jobs, blue-collar. Oh, God forbid we have blue-collar jobs. No, we can't have those. But that's what we've got. And this woman is talking about taking that away from you. If you are any kind of a sensible voter, there's no way in hell you should vote for any of these people who want to do that to you. You spent the last 8 years or probably more being under the thumb of government, not being able to find work and find a job. Or you've had to work multiple part-time jobs. If you're a recent college grad and you're now finding a job, instead of having to go out and work multiple part-time jobs, then you should be praising Donald Trump, not working against him right now. You're working against yourself. You're going to be awfully sorry if you elect a Democrat or a Democrat Congress and they raise your taxes and you lose your job and end up back in mommy and daddy's basement and on a government paycheck. And I'm not talking about working for the government. I'm talking about welfare. You're going to be sorry. And then the first thing that they're going to do, don't doubt me on this, the first thing they're going to do is blame Trump. Or blame the Republicans. Well, this is what the Republicans did. No, we didn't do it. You raised taxes again, like a bunch of idiots, because your values weren't about the actual numbers. Elizabeth Warren said it. Your values are not about the numbers. They're not about the dollar value. Oh, no, your values are about control and power and redistribution. And if you can't redistribute the wealthy person's money, then you don't want anybody to get a break. God forbid you give the person who actually, you know, creates jobs and take risk, you give them a break. No, you can't give them a break. And since you can't give them a break, you can't give anybody a break. Because it, usually when a Democrat tax cut that is targeted just towards the poor, when they pass such a thing, it is so convoluted that almost nobody is able to take real advantage of it. There is no net gain for hardly anybody in a Democrat tax cut. Because it is so convoluted and complicated. And it is so limited. Oh, if you make less than the poverty level is $24,000. If you make less than $24,000 a year, you'll get a tax cut. You're not getting a tax cut anyway. What you're getting is an additional handout. Because you're not paying any taxes at that rate. But you're getting a refund. So the tax cut isn't actually a tax cut for the average taxpayer. It is a bonus for those who are on the government dole. In order to keep them on the government dole. And if that person all of a sudden, well, you know, if you give me this money, I'm going to make more than the poverty level of $24,000. So along with the tax cut, they realize this. They say, oh, no, the poverty level is now $26,000. So you're going to get a $1,500, you know, tax credit, which means now you're making $25,500, but you're under the $26,000 a year, you know, poverty level. So you're going to get that $1,500 and stay there at $25,500. Don't try to work yourself out of it because we'll take it all away. That's what they do. They work to keep you. It is so targeted, it keeps people in poverty. It doesn't bring anybody out of poverty. Higher taxes has never brought anybody out of poverty. It's put more people in poverty. And this is true throughout American history. You know, when they first introduced income taxes at the federal level, it bankrupted a lot of rich people. And every time they raised the rate and brought the amount of people, the level of what taxes could start at, is when they kept bringing it down farther and farther and farther until it reached the general masses, the more people went bankrupt. Taxes are meant strictly for a income taxes are meant strictly for redistribution purposes, and it bankrupts many of the rich who do not take care of their money and pay attention. And yet these same people will vote for tax increases all the time. But again, it all gets so convoluted because the tax code gets so complicated. They introduce, well, we're going to have this deduction and that deduction and this deduction over here and that. We're going to limit this deduction but give you this deduction. It's ridiculous. So these wonderful limousine liberals never really end up paying more taxes, even though they say that, you know, they're going to because the tax rate's higher. But it's you, the little people out there, you middle class people that end up paying more. Because the tax cuts don't go to you because, hell, you're rich. You earn $60,000 a year, you're rich. Because you're, you know, twice the poverty rate. That's wealthy in a Democrat's view for you little people. That's their values. So he asked the question, what's too high for the top personal rate? Elizabeth Warren's response, it's not about a number. That's what negotiations are all about. If 50%, 50% is obviously too high, that's why you sit down and negotiate over the numbers, Warren responds. There is no tax rate short of 100% that is too high for people like Elizabeth Warren. There is what they're saying. What she's saying is there is no number too high. We'll take as high a number as we possibly can. We get back to the days of Jimmy Carter when the marginal rate was above 70%. for some levels? Absolutely. She'd love to see that. Now, keep in mind, even though Elizabeth Warren makes a lot of money, she's below that threshold of what people were paying at that 70% threshold were paying back in the day. You know, she's still worth $300,000-$400,000 a year. But that wasn't for people making that low of money. But those are her values. Lie to the American people about who you are and what you are. Not answer the question directly. Well, it's not about the number. Excuse me, it is about the number, Senator Warren. What number would be too? Is 70% too high? It's not about negotiation, then. What level would you go to? 70%? So 50% isn't too high, obviously. It's 70%. So somewhere between 50 and 70% is where you would limit it. What is that number? And for whom? That is their value. Don't get me started on this stuff, folks. These people, they want to tax you to death. Because, you know, there's that whole, you know, fake commercial that I play. Oh, I see what taxes are used for. I do understand taxes. Because they're about controlling people, not about earning income for the government. Not income taxes. Income taxes are about control. They're about power. They're about limiting those who they don't like, and trying to keep their base of power. They want to keep trying to get people to vote for them constantly. And how do you do it? Well, you keep people impoverished, but you keep giving them a handout and a check every month. So they're able to eat well and get fat and obese and play their video games and have a computer and have a large screen TV where they can continually be entertained and then fed propaganda through CNN and MSNBC and places like that. So you keep that going. And that's how you stay in power and ruling over their lives. But as soon as you give them the opportunity to get out of that lifestyle and actually make something of themselves, well, you lose control over them. And Democrats can't have that because their value is all about power and control. Don't doubt me. Well, we'll be back again tomorrow because we're out of time for today. So Thursday's edition is going to be hot and popping and jumping like it normally is. So thanks for tuning in today. Have a wonderful hump day afternoon. I'm out.
Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. A shameless politician always plays her cards right. Got a crew for the fight on the airwaves. Lap dogs in the press keep the mouths tight. Cause a Clinton never needs to explain what, why it is, what they done, or with who. A real Clinton knows that they're entitled. And you don't get to know what they do.
What difference does it make?
For Clinton, what's loaded in some fat apple file? A Clinton plays the victim for promotion. A Clinton kills it off with a smile. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. A server full of secrets ain't no thing. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. Nothing ever hits with a sting.